You would take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Hope you all did have a good Christmas. Echo that sentiment as well. We're so appreciative for this church and just the kindness and generosity of everyone in this church. Many of you, those some of you here, some listening, I'm sure, or that'll be here later, I've really spoiled my daughter. And she's going to be really confused when she has to stop opening new things. Some of you know that her birthday was yesterday. So she had Christmas and then her birthday, and she has cousins that have given her stuff and grandparents, so she is spoiled rotten. Now, I hope, I was just telling down there in the back, telling the sound booth, I hope I don't start singing one of the songs that one of her new toys sings that she got for Christmas. It's a little piggy bank, and it sings a song about saving money and getting bigger, which Pastor Townsend was already talking about. But it's as I was preparing this, I was going through it yesterday, just thinking through the message. Every 5 minutes or so, I just started singing that song, and it's not a bad song. It's just one of those songs that gets stuck in your mind. So if I start singing that, I'm just warning you ahead of time, I guess. If I start singing that, that's the reason why. It has nothing to do with the message, but I just want to prepare you in case I start singing about little piggies. All right, Luke chapter number 2. We'll read a few verses here, and then we'll begin with prayer. Luke chapter 2, let's go down to verse 15. Luke 2:15 says, "And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things, and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the beautiful sunshine. We just thank you for the blessings which you do so richly bless us with. And Lord, we deserve none of those things, but we thank you for your love. We thank you for your graciousness and your mercy to us. Lord, pray that you just help us as we focus now on your word for a few moments, that we would have our minds and our hearts open to the message that you'd have for us today. And Lord, may we be changed as we go out from here and seek to serve you with our lives. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting, at least to me, I find it's interesting the Bible sort of changes in my mind and in my heart as life goes along. This past year, of course, just mentioned that my daughter celebrated her first birthday. So this past year has been a different year for me, for our family. It's been a unique sort of year. But having Lydia in the house has caused really me to see the Bible and read the Bible in a different way. So many times reading the Old Testament, read about things that people had done and decisions that they made and courses of action that they took that caused their children to pay sometimes very serious consequences for their actions. You know, that stands out to me now, thinking of having a daughter in the home. It stands out to me because I don't want to be in that position where I'm doing things, where I'm making decisions, where I'm going a direction that causes my daughter to pay a penalty or a price for what I have done, for my decisions. There's also other people we see in the Bible that did good things, that made positive steps, that followed God, were faithful to God. And you see that doesn't guarantee that the next generation will follow after, but it sets them up in a good position. So some of those things have really stood out to me as I've read the Bible over the course of this past year. Another thing that really stood out to me this past week as I was thinking about the Christmas story, as we call it, and thinking about how Jesus would become flesh, how he would be born as a human for us, that he could go to the cross and die on our behalf. I was thinking about that, and this verse here, verse 19, really stood out to me as I was thinking and meditating on the Christmas story this past week. It says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Mary was thinking about all of the things that had taken place over the last year and had taken place in the last day, in the last days of her life. And she thought about them. She seriously was considering what all of this meant. trying to figure it out. Perhaps trying to think, what would her son become? What would he look like? What would he accomplish in his life? And I don't think Mary fully understood, even though she was given some heavenly insight into her son and what her son would do. I don't think she fully understood what it was going to mean to be the mother of Jesus. But think about the last year of her life, the previous year of her life. You know, perhaps during that year, she became engaged to Joseph. They hadn't yet been married, but they were preparing to be married. She also found out that she was with child, and that was a frightful thing for her. We see from the message that Gabriel gave to her, she was fearful of that meeting, confused about how that could come to pass. It was also an exciting thing. We know that she went and spent time with her cousin Elizabeth, and it was really just a life-changing sort of year. Then as we come here in Luke chapter 2, she becomes a mother. So many things that happened. There was so much to consider, so much to think about. So let's just think about some of the things here that she might have been thinking about, some of the things that she was considering. You know, a child has a way of slowing you down and making you think and causing you to consider, are we going the right way? Are we doing the right thing? And perhaps those are some of the things that Mary was considering now that she was the mother of Jesus. Mary's ponderings, let's look in verse Luke chapter number 1. We're going to read some of the passages where the angels are making declarations to people in regards to the Christmas story, and we'll see how that may have affected these people. So Gabriel brings a message to Mary in Luke chapter number 1. Let's look in verse number 30. It says, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." You know, think about that message. Of course, we know that it was is a confusing message to Mary. You know, she was not married at this time. There was no biological way that she could have been pregnant by the natural way. However, God gives her this message and tells her several things. Says, you're going to have a son. You know, that's interesting. She knew at this point, around the time that this child would have been conceived, that it was going to be a son. Now, even today, modern times with advanced ultrasound and technology, sometimes it's not so easy for the doctors to be able to look in there and see, is this going to be a boy or is it going to be a girl? Sometimes it's hard to do. Even as the pregnancy progresses, it can be a difficult thing to determine. You know, sometimes the babies don't cooperate. They're just showing their strong will, I guess. Pastor's grandbaby, I don't think they know yet what it's going to be. He's got one on the way through Paul and Sarah, and they don't know what it is. They're trying to find out, but they can't find out. Baby's not cooperating. Sometimes that happens. In modern times, sometimes we don't know. But Mary knew right there that it was going to be a son. She also knew that this son was conceived of the Holy Ghost. She also was told that this son was going to be great. This son was going to be called the Son of the Highest, the Son of God. You know, these are some pretty incredible things that the angel was telling Mary. Your son is going to be called the Son of the Highest. He is the Son of God. Also, the angel tells her that he will be given the throne of David. God was going to give her son the throne of David. He was going to reign forever, and that was going to be without end. You know, those are incredible things even for us to consider. You can imagine that you have a child or maybe a grandchild or great-grandchild, and it's going to be born. And before that child is born, you're told that this son, this child, is going to be a ruler in this world. You would think there's no way we can know that. We might hope for that, or we might think this is going to be the best child ever. Perhaps this child will be able to do great things, but there will be no way for us to determine that, or to even speculate that this child could indeed become a king or to become some great leader. There's no way that we could do that. However, Mary was told that her son was going to be a king, given the throne of his father David to reign over the house of Jacob forever. Of his kingdom there shall be no end. Those are some incredible things to consider. I'm sure those are some of the things, as Mary stood by the manger, that were going through her mind, that she was thinking about. This son is going to be great. This son is going to be called the Son of God. This son is going to be given the throne of David. Now, I have no idea how she thought that was going to take place, and perhaps she couldn't even figure it out. We don't know. But perhaps these are some of the things that would be going through her mind. You know, that would have been especially significant, I think, to her in this era, because she lived in a time that was not a pleasant time, perhaps we could say. You know, the Israelites, the Jewish people, did not rule themselves. They did not have a king, so to speak. There was certainly not a king like David. They were under Roman occupation. So it was a significant thing that this angel would tell Mary, your son is going to be the king over these people. He's going to reign forever. A significant thing. And I think it would have taken a lot of thinking, a lot of meditation to really grasp what this angel was saying to her. You can keep your finger here in Luke, but turn over to Matthew chapter number 1. Something else she may have considered is the message that was given to her husband Joseph. In Matthew chapter 1, the angel comes to Joseph, and let's see, we'll just start reading in verse number 18. Matthew 1 verse 18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Something else that may have been going through both Mary and Joseph's mind, and I believe Joseph probably relayed this conversation, relayed this message from the angel to Mary. I think that's reasonable to assume that he would have received this message and then shared it with Mary. Perhaps at this time, as all of the excitement is whirling around the manger scene in Bethlehem and shepherds coming in and visiting this child, perhaps she was thinking, God told us that this was going to be a son. God told us that we should name this son Jesus because he would save his people from their sins. Now that's a pretty significant statement to consider, that Jesus would save his people from their sins. You know, that's not something that an ordinary man can do. That's not something that any of us can do. We have no ability to do that. It's only the power of God that can do that. Perhaps she was thinking about this. They also said, the angel also told Joseph that they would call him Emmanuel, which means God with us, that God would become flesh and dwell among mankind. These are some incredible things to consider. And I believe that Mary probably was thinking about all of these things and trying to make them make sense in her mind. Let's go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, quickly we'll look at verse number 43 of Luke chapter 1. As Elizabeth says to Mary, says, "Whence is this to me," in verse 43, "that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" So Mary visits Elizabeth. Elizabeth is much older than Mary. And when Mary comes, Elizabeth makes this statement. She was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she makes this statement that the mother of my Lord should come to me. And that's another impressive thing that this lady would say, Elizabeth would say, the mother of my Lord. You know, we often don't think that, although, you know, sometimes I guess I digress here for a moment. When my daughter says, please, she doesn't speak yet, but maybe by accident we taught her that saying please is similar to smiling. Because when you say please, it kind of looks like a smile when we're exaggerating that to her. So when she wants to say please, or when she wants something, she'll get this big grin on her face. And I guess she controls me a little bit, and she is able to get what she wants almost every time from me when she smiles. But typically, we don't think of a child as being a master or a lord over an adult. Yet Elizabeth, when Mary comes to her, says, "The mother of my Lord." You know, she had some insight here from the Holy Ghost that this child that was going to be born, that was not yet born, would be a master, would be a lord. And she had faith in that. Elizabeth had faith in that. Perhaps Mary was thinking about that statement. Perhaps Mary was just thinking about her humble beginnings and the fact that she was not someone notable, that she wasn't someone that was impressive on her own, but that God chose her. Or perhaps she was just contemplating what the shepherds had just come and shared with her. You know, the angels brought a message to the shepherds as well. They said in Luke chapter 2, you should be right there in Luke chapter 1, so just turn over to Luke chapter 2. The angel comes to the shepherds and says, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." You know, the message of the angel to the shepherds was that a Savior was born. The Messiah was born. And they told the shepherds where he was born, where they could find him. And they left their fields, they left their flocks, and went to go find this newborn babe that would be called the Messiah, that would be Christ, that would be the Lord, a Savior of the world. Perhaps Mary was thinking about some of these things when it says she kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, I can't help but imagine, though, at the same time, you know, Mary was a human, after all. And so perhaps she was thinking about some of the negative things. Perhaps she was thinking and pondering pessimistically. Now, it's easy for us to think about those kind of things because we have a tendency to focus on those things. Unless we allow God to intervene, we can think about the negative things, and they can dominate us. Perhaps she was thinking, why do we have to leave home? You know, we had a place that we could have settled into and had this baby boy born in a more comfortable setting. Why do we have to leave home? And it was hard for us to imagine that a government would tell them where they had to stay and where they had to, that was a joke, by the way. You know, their government told them they had to go to a certain place. They had to stay there. But perhaps she was thinking, why do we have to leave? Why do we have to make that trip? Why was this birth so uncomfortable? Why were we not in a nice room, in a furnished place? Perhaps she was thinking, you know, the angel told me that this child was going to be a king. Why are we now laying our child in a manger? Why is he not in a proper setting for a king? Perhaps she was wondering if God forgot about them. That's probably unlikely given the amount of heavenly insight that they were given and how many messages they were given by the angels. But perhaps in that moment, she thought, man, God gave us all of these things. God gave us all of these instructions, told us all these things that were going to happen, and now there's no room in the inn. Now we're laying our son in a manger. He's in here with animals all around. Perhaps she was wondering if God forgot about us. Perhaps she wondered if God forgot or missed out on this detail. God didn't plan properly. Perhaps she was thinking like that. She was a human after all, so maybe. But there was so much to think about when you consider Mary's ponderings. But these things are also, these things that Mary could have been thinking about are really measureless. The second thing I'd like to consider is that these meditations were measureless. You know, the things that she was told are the same things that we should meditate on a daily basis. You know, in our house, we don't decorate a lot. Really, the only time of year that we decorate is around Christmas time. And there's, you know, Christmas tree and lights and all those things. And the thing that I like about the decorations is that every time those decorations are seen, every time I see those, I think about the Christmas story. I think about Jesus coming and taking on flesh and living among us. And then all of that means for the rest of his life, how he would go to the cross and how he would die on the cross for us in our place. And how he would on the third day rise from the dead, being the first to do so. We think about those things, but we should also consider the Christmas story on a daily basis, on a regular basis. In Mary's lifetime, perhaps she remembered all of these things. As she watched Jesus grow, as she watched Jesus develop, perhaps she was thinking, you know what, this son is going to be called the Son of God. Perhaps she thought that. Perhaps as she saw a Jesus working alongside Joseph in the carpenter shop, perhaps she wondered, when would he leave the carpenter shop? When would he become the king, as was promised? Perhaps she considered all of these things. We also know that she stood at the cross of Jesus when he was crucified. And perhaps these same things were going through her mind. You know, how is God going to fulfill his plan? How is God going to work his plan and fulfill all the things that he said he was going to do about this son that now the Romans are crucifying? Perhaps she thought about those things. But you know, when Mary stood by the manger, she couldn't see the cross. She couldn't see the empty tomb when she stood by the manger. But you know what? When we consider the manger, when we see Christmas decorations, every time we should also at the same time consider that it's not just about Jesus coming to earth, but his purpose in coming to earth was to then die on the cross, to take our place, to save us from our sins. That's the real message of Christmas, that he came to take our sins, to save us from our sins. Every time we see the manger, every time we see Christmas decorations, we should look beyond them to the cross. We should look beyond them to the empty tomb that he did rise from the dead. And when we do that, we can consider that these things that the angels told Mary, when we meditate upon them, they'll have an impact on our lives. As I was sitting down here in the front, we were singing some of the congregational songs, and of course I have a little bit of insight into what the message was going to be, so they kind of meant a little bit more to me as we were singing those things. But the last song that we sang was Away in a Manger. And, you know, that's a Christmas song, a common song. And we sing about the little Lord Jesus, how he laid down his head, how he was laid in a manger. We think about all those things. But the middle song that we sang today was probably my favorite song that we sang. Because not only do we at Christmas time, or not only should we at Christmas time, think about the little Lord Jesus, how he came to earth, how he humbled himself to do so, but also the purpose in him coming. And the middle song we sang was Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. And I think it's the fourth, there's a lot of verses to that song, and they're all good, so I'm glad we sang them all. Good job, Bobby. But I think it was the fourth verse that we sang. It says, he breaks the power of canceled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. You know, that's the kind of message we should be thinking about at Christmas time. That Jesus, in coming to earth, in becoming our sacrifice on the cross, has the ability to break the power of our sin. He can cancel our sin, remove it, take it out of the way, cleanse us from those things. And it's enough. That payment was enough for anybody. It doesn't matter how bad we are, because his blood can make the foulest clean. His blood is enough for you and for me. Think about that. As we consider not only the Christmas story, how Jesus came, we can consider that Christ's blood was enough to save us from our sins. Think about that on a regular basis. You know, he's still the Savior. The angels told Mary and Joseph that he was going to be a Savior. You know what? He's still the Savior. Think about that. He is still our Savior. He's already King. Think about that. We serve a King. We don't serve a person who lived and died. We serve a living King. Think about that. That ought to affect us as we live our lives. He is alive. Think about that. He is alive. God became man. Think about that. You know, that's something that we should on a daily basis remind ourselves, because we can get so caught up in the calendar, right? We can get so caught up in, oh, today's Sunday, I need to go to church. Today's Monday, I need to go to work. It's December, we need to pull out the Christmas decorations. It's January, we need to put all of that away. We get so caught up and tied up in the calendar that sometimes we forget to slow down and consider that Jesus is still the Savior. Jesus is still and already King. Jesus is alive. God became man. You know, imagine if we lived in a different era. Imagine if we lived the same time, during the same time period as Christ lived. And imagine we were also Jewish people. You know, it would have been possible that as our families traveled to Jerusalem to go to the temple for the Passover, we could have interacted with Jesus, with God in flesh. You know, if we lived in a different era, he became man. He was just like you and just like me. He became man. We could have talked. We could have enjoyed a game together. Who knows? But just imagine that God, the creator of everything, became man. You know, if Christmas is just a visit to a baby in a manger, or if Christmas is just about gifts brought to Jesus, we've missed the point. If all we do for Christmas is take a trip like the shepherds did to go to Bethlehem and visit the baby in the manger, and then we go our way and, you know, live like nothing ever happened, we've missed the point of Christmas. The point of Christmas is not just to have a good time of celebration, but it's to think about what God did for us, how he came to earth and took our place on the cross. The story of Christmas, the message of Christmas, should carry us beyond December 25th. You know, it shouldn't stop when we turn to December 26th. The message of Christmas is one that should stay with us each and every day of our lives. He's still the Savior. He's still alive. He's still King. He became man for us. You know, when we think about those things, there's really no end to them. I like what John said toward the end of the book of John, the Gospel of John. He said that if all the things that Jesus did and said were to be written, that the world could not contain those things. And that's a really good picture of the measureless meditations about who God is and what he did for us. You know, the special music today talked about the love of God and how it can't be, we can't express it in words because it's measureless. We can't express the love of God completely in words. We couldn't write enough down to express that because it's so far above us. It's measureless. So think about these things. The same things that Mary was told, the same things that she was given, we should think about as well. So if we do so, what's that going to mean for us? Well, I think it should have a meaningful response or a meaningful result in our lives if we think about these things that we're told to Mary. If we think about the fact that Jesus is still the Savior, that Jesus is the King, that Jesus is the Son of God, that he is still alive, that he became man for us, there should be a meaningful result in our lives from those thoughts. Our thoughts affect our actions. Do our actions say we've thought about Christ? Do the things that we say, do the things that we do, do they give indication to those around us that we've thought about Christ? That we've slowed down and considered and pondered the fact that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Savior, that Jesus came to save us from our sins? Do our actions say we've thought about Christ? You know, I'm as guilty as anyone and just being swept up in the duties of the day, things we have to get done, places we have to go. And it can be difficult sometimes, in some seasons of the year even, to think about and to slow down and meditate upon who God is, who Jesus is, what he has done for us. Do our actions say that we've thought about Christ? Have we dwelt on his person? Have we dwelt on his character, on his position, on his purpose? See, when we do so, we'll make statements like Mary did. Let's look in Luke chapter 1. I'm not going to read all of this, but I'm just going to point out some things, and you can just scan through as I'm going through this. When we have a time of meditation, when we ponder the goodness of God, and we think about what God has done for us and who God is, what his purpose was, we'll say things like Mary did. Luke chapter 1, just look in verse 46. As Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord. My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Then look at this. Verse 48 says, "He hath regarded." In verse number 49, "He that is mighty hath done." Verse number 50, his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Verse 51, he hath showed strength of his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination. He hath put down the mighty from their seats. Verse 53, he hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent away empty. He hath, verse 54, hope in his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy. When we have a time of meditation on who God is, what his purpose was, we'll have a similar type focus in our lives, in that he, God, will take first place. You know, Mary was trying to give glory to God for who he was and for what he had done and what he was doing. And when we focus our attention, when we focus our thoughts on him, God will take first place in our lives. His desires will become our desires. His goals will become our goals. He will take first place. When we think about Christ, he will take first place. When we think about what he sacrificed for us, the fact that he died for us, that he lives for us, that he, as Hebrews says, he continues to intercede for us. When we think about those things, we'll give him first place. We won't try to take it from him. We'll give him first place. We'll also submit to his plan. We'll take our hands off. We'll let God direct our steps. We'll let him lead us in the way. You know, I think this is true for Mary. I think Mary was allowing God to lead her. She was allowing God to direct her steps. But also, she was willing, because she understood these things, she understood who God was, she was willing to take her hands off her son and allow God to do with him as his plan was. You know, it could have been easy for her to take a tight hold on Jesus and try to keep him close to her and try to prevent perhaps him from going to the cross because of her mother's love for that child. Just yesterday, I was reading, just separate from this, but just reading in 1 Samuel and thinking about Hannah and how Hannah prayed for a son, and God gave her her son Samuel. And when she prayed for Samuel, she promised that she would give him to the Lord. And we know that when he became old enough, she brought him to Eli, she brought him there to the tabernacle area and just basically just dropped him off, and she would visit him, but she gave him to the Lord. And you typically, when I think because we're prone to listening to Satan's lies, typically we can have a tendency to think about the fact that if we give something to God, if we surrender something to God, we can get the idea that he's gonna take that from us, he's gonna make our lives miserable. But God does not do that. When we give things to the Lord, when we surrender to the Lord, he gives us what is better than we already have. He gives us more than we have ever even given to him. But I was thinking about that, and what never really dawned on me was that after Eli died, and after Samuel had established himself as the next judge there in Israel, that it says, the Bible says that his home was in Ramah, which is incidentally where his parents lived. It's kind of interesting to me, and I don't know what the significance of that really is, but it just stood out to me as I was thinking about that, that although Hannah gave him to the Lord, after a while, he lived close by. He lived in that same area. When we submit to God's plan, when we let God direct our steps, he will give us what is better. He will give us what we cannot even imagine or do for ourselves. But also, another thing, when we think about who God is, we think about Jesus, the Son of God, how he would become flesh, how he's still the Savior, how he's still the King, how he's still alive, that should cause us to respond without delay. When God tells us to do something, when God shows us something, we should respond without delay. I like the response of the shepherds. It says the shepherds, that they came with haste. After they were given the message from the Lord, they came with haste. They didn't wait. They hurried to go see the things that God had told them. That's a response that we should have when we think about what God has done for us. God says, hey, go talk to that person. Go share Christ with that person. We should do it with haste. Go help that person. Go out of your way. Take some time. Help that person. We should do it with haste. Think about who Christ is. But also, will share his story. You know, the shepherds did this as well. It says that when they had seen it, verse number 7, Luke 2:17, when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know, they couldn't help, after they had seen Jesus, this one that was promised to Mary, the Son of God, the Savior, the Messiah, after they had seen this thing, they couldn't help but go out and tell other people. They made known abroad, and all that heard it wondered at those things. They glorified and praised God for all that he had done. You see, life can be challenging. You know, we all face challenges, and you know, as I read a number of Christmas letters and Christmas cards from different family members from this past year, a common theme was that this has been a challenging year. You know, 2020 has been a year unlike many others. You know, it's interesting because several churches that I know of have made themes for the year 2020. And when we think 2020, immediately we think about vision. And we think about, let's do something, let's get a vision, let's go forward, let's accomplish something. But you know what? All that was turned up on end. And no one could have seen this coming. No one could have anticipated this. It's been a difficult year. And there's been challenges. But when we focus our thoughts on Jesus, and when we think about who he is, that he is the Son of God, that he is still alive, that he wasn't just a baby that was born and laid in a manger, but that he came in that way so that he could go to the cross, die for us, and be raised again to give us life, to save us from our sins. When we focus our thoughts on that Jesus every day, it will give us clarity in uncertain times. 2020 has been a difficult year, but we should commit ourselves to focusing on Jesus, thinking about him on a daily basis, what he did, who he is, what he accomplished for us, what he wants to accomplish in us, and what he has planned for the future. When we think about those things, it will give us a greater clarity going into this next year. The challenge this morning is to focus our thoughts, focus on Jesus in this coming year. Let's pray.